Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome back to another edition of The Menu. This is Brother B. Brother L is, overseas doing this military thing right now, since his regards. But tonight, I have my cuz on with me, and it's a pleasure to have her here. I'm really looking forward to this, because she's got a lot to say, and I like to listen. So, cuz, if you don't mind introducing yourself.
Well, good evening, Byron. I'm Deborah Karen Brown Hicks, a retired New York City school teacher and currently a recipient of a doctorate degree in higher education. And that does not define me, though. Experience in life and people define me and help to define me. So I have a concern, and I think, I'd like to share it with the listeners and hopefully get some feedback. I don't know everything, but I do have a lot of emotions, feelings, and opinions about a lot of things. So I'd like to thank you for allowing me to speak on your show tonight, and I'm proud of you. You may not know this, but you're not the only individual in our family with a radio show. Back in the 70s, a cousin, Loretta Williams, had a radio show. I recall visiting her station, a talk show at Restoration on Fulton Street in Bed-Stuy. So the legacy continues, and I'm proud of you, Byron. Now, I approached you about a topic for your show because recently I was reminded about hot weather would be soon arriving. Oh, gosh, and those individuals hibernating or hiding in doorways will now move forward to the sidewalk, and, they're going to be making a whole bunch of noise out there. They're going to congregate, and those who have already began the conversations at 6, 7, or 8 a.m. because they have a different work schedule or social schedule than those hundreds of folks who rush by them en route to the subway every morning. And either they're going to discuss sports highlights, the party they went to, and what action occurred, and what they did, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then sometime around 8 o'clock or maybe midday or afternoon when the kids come from school, these same valiant soldiers, guarding the free sidewalk on my block, will add mood music as a backdrop to the animated dialogue by blasting their car stereo. Now, I have to confess, Byron, when the occasional R&B song blouse blasts, the song stimulates my memory and takes me back to my time. However, when that memory is jarred with the likes of lyrics that blast nigga, hoes, and bitches, I slam on the emotional and respiratory brakes and grind my teeth in fury. All right? So the songs, for the most part, have a monotonous beat, but I'm not the music critic here. That's not my issue. My point is, give me a beat and let me rhyme whatever I think, see, feel, hear, and recall. And it doesn't have to have a literary or even make a literary statement. What my seasoned ear hears is anger, but directed at whom? Women? Other blacks? Okay, so we have no control over other humans, but we do have control over our actions, And I guess the impetus for this show is, I now have to be insulted not only by the three offensive words, but then by the sexually explicit exploits occurring in the lyrics, the cussing, the drug and alcoholism, in just about every song played on the radio. I mean, how much Henny, Chirac, 40s can one drink and still stand even want to talk to a woman, a dignified woman? That's my platform right there, I believe that we blacks are being pimped and sold by major advertisers on Madison Avenue and entertainment industries. And as money was to be made off our blood, sweat, and tears during slavery, Jim Crow, and now, so was the new manumission. And we are slaves to a white corporate America who doesn't give a daggone about who we really are. We are not homies. We're not players. We're not niggas. But are men and women, misses, misters, masters, ladies, gentlemen, brothers and sisters. Byron, when you began your lyric career, remember when you started out way long ago, the first thing I asked you is there cussing? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. There were and are so politically powerful songs that never uttered a cuss or belittled a gender or a race. James Brown, Marvin Gaye. Now I'd like for you to do me a favor and name some writers and groups today who can't get their point across without self-destruction or advertising or promoting self-destruction or self-genocide. I need to hear that because I just don't know who these guys are.
Well, before I do that, guest calling 646-378-1882. That's 646-378-1882. Now, speaking from that side, I mean, I was going through, basically my whole thing with writing, while I started writing, it was an outlet. Because, you know, I believe I started writing in 88, and, you know, my mother passed in 87, so I needed something. I needed to channel that anger somewhere. So I started writing. First was in poems, and then it started with lyrics. And the thing is, I believed in, at first everything was kind of sporadic, but then after a while I started to notice, if I'm going to curse or I'm going to say certain things, it has to be well-placed. Because I can believe, yeah, I believe that you can curse. You can say things, but it has to be well-placed. It just can't be for no reason. But I was just getting out the angst. Like, I was angry, I was hostile, I felt cheated. I was just coming from what was within me. I wasn't trying to, you know, motivate really anyone else. Because, see, as a writer, as someone that actually takes the pen and paper and put thought behind it, sometimes you think about the reader or the listener, but you're the creator of it. It's coming off of you. It's your self-expression. It's either what's in your heart or your mind or both. So that's actually where I was coming from with it. I was just getting off what was on my chest, what was within me. And I know there's people out there that can relate, will relate, or may have related to how I felt at that time with that certain work, song, paragraph, verse, line, whatever. So it was really about what I needed to say. Now, nowadays, they just curse to curse. They just say stuff to say. The most of them, I remember years ago, you couldn't say something in a rhyme and not back it up. That's how serious it was. I mean, we used to get into ciphers. Like, when everybody would stand around a circle, mm-hmm. and those with skill, you know, everybody would go back and forth. The thing is, you could not, first of all, it was like you couldn't recite anybody else's lyrics because you might get beat up. A fight might break out because we took it very seriously. You just couldn't do it. If you said something like you was moving keys overseas and this, that, and the third, and somebody would call you out like, yo, I just saw you in church last week. Like, you couldn't say something that wasn't you. It was all about lyrics. It was all about playing with the words, knowing the meaning, how to connect everything, make everything cohesive, and put it in form of a rhyme. Because a lot of cats was dropping out of school or wasn't even paying attention to school, but yet they were able to create these works. They were able to put these lines together. No teacher had to tell them anything. Or show them anything. Like, this was on them. And I found it amazing. Like, wow, you don't even go to school, but you can rhyme your ass off, man. But I guess this is just something that was within them, something that they were able to relate to. But like I said, nowadays, Cass is just lying like it ain't nothing. Like, it's okay to lie in lyrics. It's okay to put out false information and have these kids out here who go to these public schools while you're making millions off of them and your kid is going to a private school, and, you know, they lie their ass off.
But
there's
see,
no reason for them to tell
you. You're talking about an aesthetics, and I hear about the purity of song, the purity of lyrics, the legitimacy of your words that back up your experiences. You know, everything is entertainment, and I get that. I watch TV, and I'm easily entertained by many things. Got that. Do I always seek truth? Nah, because it's entertaining. Do I believe that, you know, Luther Vandross could really make me feel love, but I felt it? I felt as if I was in love in the absence of having anyone to love. I got the escape. I got understanding the message. What I don't get is targeting. See, it's the targeting of ethnicity and gender, including ourselves, that I just don't get at all. I have been through stuff. We have always all been through stuff. But the form of your conversation about it can be monitored. Because, see, you know you wouldn't cuss in front of your mama. So why you want to cuss
exactly.
in front of public? Because your mama going to listen to it, you know. She's going to hear it. Her son, how does she explain that? And then some of them go, well, that's, you know, they're going to endorse it, knowing that they're dead wrong. They're like not even about that, but they're going to endorse it because you're your artistic form. Nonsense. There are ways to say a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm not talking about, you know, I love Mos Def and his Brown Sugar. He says, damn baby, and I'm like, ooh, I love that. Mild, but yet Mos Def can really rip it with some cussing too. I'm not listening to that.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that, see, we need a moral fiber. I liked it when that music was underground. That's just the hell where it needed to stay, underground. Because, see, you're raising little brothers and sisters who buy into your hype. You're raising brothers and sisters. We have enough self-destructive behavior in our communities as it is that maybe a little fantasy and fiction will help. Everybody has to have the Henny. Not everybody has to have the 40 or the champagne all the time. It's images that we put in children's minds that make them believe the hype, and then we get little gangsters. Back in the day when they had Sherlings, his little man and Sherling. Back in the day when you had a little gold ring, your little kid had a gold ring. Why? Why are we doing that? Why are we back to 18th century or 15th century Elizabethan making little kids grown people? And I have a problem with that, and I believe there needs to be censorship, you know what I'm saying? But even so, you know, I'm still waiting for, there were people like they said that had, you know, back in the day had good lyrics, who put their point across about, you know, without degrading oneself or degrading others. And I just wasn't listening at that time because I'm a beat person. I have purchased so many CDs because I heard it, the edited version, and then I get home and like, what? I don't even play them. I can't play them because now that means my son at the time who was little would hear it, and that's not what I stand for. And then as Derry got older, he would say, Ma, it's advisory, Ma. It's... Then I got annoyed because I really wanted the radio edit because I don't feel like hearing. I have a right to be ticked off about a bunch of stuff, but you don't hear me cussing like I'm a crazy person. You know?
Well, true. I mean, that is true. But like I said, the music then, compared to what's going on now, is totally different. See, there were so many different genres back then. Like, you had your conscious rappers. You had mm-hmm. your underground, you know, well, I'm sorry. You had your conscious MCs. You had your underground MCs. You had different types, but at the same time, everybody was still together. There was still unity within the music, even though you did gangster rap, you know what I'm saying? We can still come together and do a self-destruction song. Because people, back then, it was about the money, but the money didn't come before the love. It's like how you look at basketball now. I mean, compared to how it was back then, it was a love for the game. Now they give these million-dollar contracts. It's all about money. So, because they think, oh, shove the money in their face, and they'll do whatever you say.
Years and white ago, corporate America is saying to you, yeah, debase women. Debase yourself.
And they go, all right?
I'll give you a contract if you talk about women, call them H's and B's. And
exactly. You got,
and then you're a pimp and you're sold. You're bought and sold. And you know what? I have to listen to the music. I'd hate men, women, and myself. Because that's what's being preached. Self-hatred.
Listen, I was listening to an excerpt from Malcolm X's speech,
mm-hmm.
and he was saying how we have been taught to hate ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
They say black is negative. They say your hair is bad. They say, mm-hmm. you know, something about your lips. They say brown is no good. This, that, and the date. It's been hammered into our brain for years. We are to hate ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, how could you hate yourself when you possess so much potential? Like, mm-hmm. you know, people want to say they believe in God, but if you really believe in God, then you believe that God doesn't make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
He created you, just like he created the black man, he created white, he created Asian, all types of people. So you got one type of people saying, oh, a mistake was made? Wrong. So wake up. That's the whole issue. No one's waking up. So you got this somebody that come from the suburbs, way out in the woods. he gets this job as a record exec, and he's telling black kids, hey, listen, you want to make records, you want to get money, you want the bling bling, well, you got to say this. And don't even know, haven't even walked through the projects, mm-hmm. haven't even walked through the streets of Bed-Stuy or East New York or Brownsville, don't know nothing about it at all. But yet they're telling you what you got to say, what people in your hood is listening to. I've never been able to get that. Like I said, there's a big difference between throwing curses out there and using a couple of curse words to get your point across, like
right.
a sentence and answer or something like that.
But you understand
but
something?
It's different.
Their other music is censored. We're not. So what does that say?
Exactly. Well, yeah,
what does that
they
say? We have perpetuated a myth about ourselves, and that self-perpetuation is also self-destructive.
It is. Because
nobody
we
else is singing this stuff but us. Nobody. I don't even know what punk rockers are singing, but they sure aren't cussing. I don't know what acid heads are doing, what the grunge people are doing, but they may be complaining, but I don't hear them say nigga or au fait or nothing like that. You know, there was a brother named Randall Kranz Kennedy, 92, a Harvard Law professor, who wrote a book entitled Nigga, The Strange Career of a Troublesome Word. And he wrote of the history of the word and the persistent use of the word within black culture and in American social and legal discourse, conversation, and literature, like Huck Finn. And Mark Twain makes a point. I feel Mark Twain. I like him. But he used nigga because that was the standard language. But it also was important to keep the language authentic because that's just how we were perceived. The use of it in theater and history. Oh, in the 50s, everyone loved Elvis Presley, including, you know, some black folks, too. And I remember hearing that Elvis once said, the only thing a nigga can do is shine my shoes. And then I read where President Truman referred to the late Reverend Adam Clayton Powell of Abyssinian Baptist Church, a renowned black church in Harlem, that as called him, as referred to him as that damn nigga preacher. Now, since only in this country does the word have longevity, because it does have longevity since the beginning when we recall that, in the 1500s up until now, that's the only word into perpetuity we're going to have is nigga, what described us as to a European people in the early 1800s to now, you know, as many blacks define themselves in each other now as they do. The question is, do we have a copyright on and ownership privileges like stock, like property rights, like a legacy, like inheritance on the word nigga? Or as a more educated people, a more politically diverse, intelligent, influential, and dynamic people, can we let the word rest? For the word has no purpose except to denigrate, deny, denounce, discourage, and assign a social stigma to a dignified race. We are people from kings and queens. We weren't born slaves. We were born, we own crap. We enslaved people back in the day, even when Moses and them were around. Okay, we were the Egyptians were for Africa, even though they want to make them look light. They had the Jews enslaved. We had stuff going on. We had our pyramids. And now we have nothing, and we want to call ourselves nigga and let it slide. All right? The debate has been on this word since the rappers started using it and coming from underground to outside, you know, since the 1990s. You know, the underground music, uncensored, uncut, you know, was let out the barn. Now, I mentioned that thing called parental advisory. And advisory does not delve into the psyche of musicians who must publicly shame one another and denounce them. You know, if you want respect, you have to earn respect. And I can't have any other race respect me if I don't respect my own, Byron. I really can't. You know, it just doesn't make sense to me, you know. And if it has to matter of anything, when I think about stuff, it's like, you know, now in my day, okay, in my day, and I'm 60, in my day, anyone calling anybody, yes, I am. I turned to Wednesday. Happy birthday to me. In my day, anyone calling anybody referring to anybody as a nigga was cause for a behind whooping. Now, don't get me wrong. Blacks had no code. And at one time, you know, they didn't break it before in front of white folks. It was an in-house word. When I watched Django, you know, it was interesting filming that, you know, Quentin Tarantino ran with the ball. Oh, but he ran with the ball, and it was, I flinched. I don't think young folks flinch. I flinched each time I heard it. And I'm glad because it's like gunshots. I want to keep flinching. I don't want to become immune to it. All right? But it was true. It was reflective how we were referred to back then. That was our name. Look at that movie with the boy who wound up being a neighbor and, she kept, and my girl kept calling him nigger. Anyway, I don't know, maybe nigger was, you know, used like we say, the dude or that girl. And it's puzzling to me. You know, still it appears that, in, that our in-house word, you know, used as an adjective or reference was not a noun. You know, we referred to that. You know, it was for lively conversation and exaggeration, but it was in-house. You know, I recall the early the 40s, the Negro was portrayed in film as undignified. We were porters, easily spooked, hence the nomenclature spook. They used to call us spooks. You know, our eyes rolled to the back of our head, bows in disbelief so you could see the whites of our eyes. Our ears wiggled. Our faces were etched in fear as we backed terrified out the room saying, "Feet don't fail me now." We were called jungle bunnies. Then we had our war movies where the Germans were called krauts, Japanese Japs, Vietnamese or Asians as gooks, Irish as mixed, Italians as guaps. Archie Bunker just ran with it, and he told the truth. And then later, the West Indians in the 60s were called monkeys. Puerto Ricans were referred to themselves, mind you, as, you know, and blacks did, as spics, you know, but I knew not to say that. Whites, inclusive of all ethnicities, were referred to in the 60s and 70s as au fait. You know, in the 40s or 50s, you know, where the then came the dynamic and militant 70s, where we referred to them as whitey and devils. But no matter what names ethnicities labeled themselves and each other, no other race, Byron, except the black race, has moved from decrying and vilifying the word nigger to turning it to an ideology, a way of thinking, speaking, acting. And then we gave permission to other races and ethnicities to use the word openly, flagrantly, and confidently. That's what gets to me. I can hear Hispanics, I'm like, "You're the nigger, this is a nigger." And I'm like, "Oh, I want to punch you in your face." You say what? On a bus, you talking niggas, I got to turn around and see that you don't even look like me? So we gave him permission. And it's okay, cool, for you know, for me to, no, it's not cool. No, it's not. I was accused on a job that I worked on of calling a kid a nigga in front of a white person. Anybody who knows me, never happened. Never mind she lying, but never happened. First of all, who are you? And why would I call my people a nigga in front of you? First of all, you, and I normally go to her ancestry, but her ancestry had people who were former slavers, not her people, but per se. Why would I call somebody a nigga in front of you? You white. You don't even look like me, live in my community. Why? And she lied and said I said it. And we would go toe-to-toe on that. But see, that's how much I respect me and we. No, we've gone to hell with ourselves. I used to read this poem to kids, and if you can, may I read the poem to you, Byron?
Yeah, of course.
You need to make another, like, announcement, give the number.
Oh, sure, 646-378-1882. Yeah, I'm ready, because I'm enjoying all this, guys.
There was a poem that was mentioned, I found in the 90s. I heard it. As a matter of fact, it was like this poetic group, I forget who did it in the form of song, but I found it in the form of a poem. And I'm not a rapper or anything like that, but I will try my best to be eloquent in my description of the poem. Hold on for a sec. Okay, it's called "Cliff Blue Sky Ain't No Nigger," and it's written by R. Peter, P-I-E-T-E-R. And it starts out like this. Turns my stomach, blows my mind when I hear these words come from my own kind. What's up, nigger? Every day that passes, everywhere I go, young brothers act as if they don't know about the history. What's up, nigger? Ain't no mystery that the whip was cracked across your back, but I still hear brothers say, "What's up, nigga?" as if they don't know about hanging from a tree, being crapped on and pissed on for all to see. Like, that really struck fear? Well, dig this, brothers. We all still here. Despite their meetings in the night at the slave shack in the field, proposition our sisters so that they could cop a feel of the greatness, and I just hate this. This feeling that cringes within my gut when I hear brothers as they strut, "What's up, nigga?" Damn, kid, when you gonna learn how you were called a nigga while they tortured you and burned their fiery crosses of hate? And it ain't too late, my brother, to start respecting yourself and then each other. But you seem to be comfortable calling me this degrading word that's meant as a diss. Like those old-ass descriptions, Sambo and boy, you think calling me a nigga brings me joy? It hurts me. It shames me. It makes me mad how you don't seem to realize just how sad it is to be referred to like I'm not you, standing in front of you, a nigga. Is that all I am, a nigga? Is that what you see me as, a nigga? Is that who you are, a nigga? Does it make you feel bigger when you pull the trigger? Just another job for another grave digger to bury a brother unknown without a name, another nigga that they tried to tame. Well, a nigga is as a nigga does, and a nigga with a bull in his head is a nigga that was. We got to stop the madness and not be so blind. Dig the tricks while we still have time. Walk with pride and remember those who were called a nigga as they took the blows and survived, and if not for them, we would not be alive. So wake up now and take a stand and start referring to me as less than a man. Check yourself on this very thing, because ain't no nigga can be no king. And in the future, when greeting me or another, keep it real like, "What's up, brother?" Now that's the real right there. Been trying to tell you youth that for years, but this makes it loud and clear. Ain't no niggas up in here. The end.
I like that. You gotta send me that. Send me that info, so I gotta look that up. I like that.
And every time I had a chance, I didn't wait for Black History, I'd read that. We had a poetry slam in school, I read that. Because, see, I was assaulted, auditorily assaulted. I was the only one in my job to say, "I ain't no niggas up in here." Because people want to, no. Then they tried to tell me how to spell it. See, I'm old school. And plus, I had won the spelling bee in fifth grade, so I know how to spell. So you can't tell me nigga is, "Miss, it's not the same. This one is N-I-G-G-A. Oh, miss, this is N-I-G-G-A-S. You a fool, and who you lying to?" No, we can't change the spelling on a word that's meant to. Because, see, guess what? I can't call you Platano, as you call each other from the Dominican Republic. I call you, and I'm not using that S word. I'm not calling a German outside. I'm not doing an Archie Bunker. That was the whole thing between, you know, Archie Bunker and George Jefferson. Come on, who's the worst, George or Archie? They decried that and said, "Wow, people are uncomfortable, snickered." It's for real. There are names for every Stein race. They don't make a song out of it.
But that's the thing with TV. TV made it, like they softened the blow.
No, I didn't. It's a perception, Byron.
Well, it's a perception, yes, but you got
the rationalization of what you want. You know what? Your mother said, "Look, don't go outside in the rain. You know you're going to get wet and get your asthma attack. What you going to do? Throw your ball out the window to have an excuse to go outside in the rain, and guess what you had? An asthma attack. And guess why? Because you got wet." See, we would rationalize anything to make it feel good. That's why people take drugs. That's why people steal. That's why people have affairs. That's why people have unsafe sex.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. Like, once again, you're right. You rationalize it, but like with shows like Archie Bunker, like what is it, All in the Family, something like that. Shows like that, they put it out there, but they tried to make it, you know, they made it socially acceptable. Because somebody sat back and said, "Hey, somebody's talking like this." Somebody was able to relate to what he was saying, and somebody was able to relate what George Jefferson was saying.
It never desensitized. You got to understand generations. Understand the year, 70s. We're still part of Black Panther movement. 70s, that's not an 80s or 90s show. 70s,
right.
we were politically very politically conscious. We were calling each other brother and sister and had dashikas. No, he was the iconic racist. And we looked at Archie as not as the joke to humor, because he softened up. But to decry him and say, "Wow, I can't believe it," it slapped you in the face to make you say, "Damn, this is ugly. This is very ugly. And nobody was laughing at it. Guess what? It sold to a purely white audience who were probably calling us that anyway.
But that's the thing. Look how they packaged it.
We didn't have to watch it. That's okay, because white folks still call us what they like. They're still lynching us. There's still racial climate. One of my things in my dissertation was to report on a racial campus climate. It still goes on today. There's still nooses. There's still writings on the wall, racist slurs. There's still those behaviors that we looked at as part of the Reconstruction era, because then they started lynching us after Reconstruction. We were too valuable as slaves to be lynched unless we ran away. And into the 20s, 1920s, 30s, and the last one probably ended in the 1970s, all right? Yeah, it was ugly, and it was truthful. But nobody ran out and was doing what they were doing. They were calling us that anyway. Do we need to label ourselves up? They labeled us already. We need to move away from any kind of label that we've been given by the oppressor. That's lazy, stupid. We need to move away from those terms that the oppressor gave us. We are in an era of free will. Now, I know schools, you had a conversation about schools. I missed that, not because I'm a teacher and I don't want to, you know, there are two sides to that story. But one is parental involvement. But look what happened. Let me tell you something. I went to church Sunday, and we had a little Mother's Day program, and the little kids had made up a song that they created. And at the end of the song, and I check what I'm saying to you. At the end of the song, they gave thanks. They said, Happy Mother's Day. So what do you think the kids? Just tell me what they said, Byron. Happy birthday. What would you say? Happy birthday who? Fill in the blank. Happy Mother's Day, Byron.
Mom. Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
They said, Happy Mother's Day, Grandma. Child number two says, Happy Mother's Day, Grandma. Child number three, Happy Mother's Day, Grandma. Child number four, Happy Mother's Day, Grandma. Child number five, six, seven said, Happy Mother's Day, Auntie. What's wrong with that picture? Who's raising kids? Where are we getting morals and values from? You got them from your mother. Your mother got them from her mother. And it was we stood toe to toe, and there was an expectation of behavior. Even if you went out on the outside and did what you did, when you walked in that house, it was an expectation of behavior because it was a rank and file here. Grandma, mom, or better yet, extended family, grandma, auntie, somebody was saying, why are my babies saying Happy Mother's Day, Grandma? Where are
all that has been broken down.
Right, and therefore, who stands and sets the moral example if everything goes?
Listen, I remember when Bush was in office, it was the whole family structure was okay. For him to put it out there on you know, with his mother, his father, and then his daughters and stuff, like, everything was okay then. But as soon as Obama got in office, then it became a problem. What, they make their own beds? What, your mother-in-law comes in and cooks? Like, yo, what? So wait, all of a sudden he comes in and there's a problem with the family structure?
But
it was okay when Bush was in there.
There wasn't a problem. But we, you know, single-parent households has been a given. They went from first day man walked off and hunted, and his wife was left alone with the children. Single parent, sorry, he didn't come back. He was eaten by dinosaurs, crocodiles, whatever. Yeah, okay. We live, we move on. Difference is, someone in that tribe would adopt you. You become that person's wife. So there was still a caretaking and a community raising of children. Whereas, and you have to remember this, and people your age and older will tell you, you didn't want Miss Bessie to tell your mama nothing. Because guess what? Miss Bessie could hit you and talk crap to you, and then your mama would beat you too. There was no justice in the community. Nobody cared about what you thought you were listening to, but there was structure. So you knew Miss Bessie was watching you. If you did something wrong, all right, bye, I'm going to tell your mother, and guess what she did? And your mama would beat you the same as later, could pinch you and push you up. We don't have that. Everybody's into their own little world. Don't talk to my child.
We was in that last, I think we were part of that last, I was part of that last generation.
Thank
where,
you.
Where you had a police officer that was like, yo, I know your mother.
Yeah.
A police officer in the projects, the regulars, whether they were black or white, like, hey, I know your mom.
Take
Listen,
you to your mother.
Yeah,
that's
all,
right.
Like,
didn't arrest you, took you to that door.
Exactly.
And sometimes by your ear and took you, and if his stick didn't whip your behind, she would finish it. So you're here, so you're on the same page as I am. We don't have family structure, in my opinion.
No.
And I've always been strong on this. You know, I knew life when your brother was going to school, Armin and Rod were going to Bushwick, 77. Things were getting crazy then. I saw a destruction of community and of networking. There was something faulty then. And then came crack. So I knew life pre-crack and, as I call it, post-crack. Crack took our family structure. It snatched us away. Crack and AIDS. So we have younger parents becoming grandparents, raising extended family that have pushed upon them because the courts are either pushing the kids on them, putting all these kids in foster care. I have never met so many foster care in my 28 years of teaching as I have in my 60 years of living. And I don't even expect the kids to live with their parents anymore. That's how deep it is, because crack allows you to, everybody goes to jail. Grandma, everybody's slinging crack. All right? Now everybody was slinging hash. Now everybody was slinging heroin. Selective. Everybody seemed to be involved with crack, and I saw generations and blocks and neighborhoods deteriorate as a result of that. When you do that, you take away family structure. So who's raising kids? The TV, the video, the messages. Yeah, everybody's angry and pissed off, but you're blaming the wrong person. You're attacking the bitch, the hoe. No. Who protects women? You know, when a man who puts down a woman is called a misogynist. A woman who puts down a man is called misandry. See, we're hating each other, and we got the wrong target in mind. We really need to love one another. We really need to respect and support one another. So when this poem says, "So what's up?" Thanks up to somebody, my brother, my sister, was a very empowering word. Right away, your ears turned to your left because that was your sign of respect. It's, "Excuse me, my brother, let me ask you a question." And that was a sign of respect. You ain't going to address me, "Yo, my nigga." See, back in the day, you call me nigga, I say your mama. Now we ready to fight. You call me a bitch, I'm going to say your mama. We ready to fight. You call me a hoe, I'm going to say your mama. See, now you ready to defend your mama, but you're not ready to defend who you are. Because you letting them call you a bitch and a hoe. Yeah, and I wish every woman would rise up and stop that crap. Do not define me, and don't generalize me because you can't get a play. Because I won't talk to you. You going to call me a bitch as I pass by? You going to disrespect me? Then mind your business and treat me with respect. Don't say jack to me when I walk by. If I don't give you eye contact, if I don't say boo to you after you open your mouth and say, "Hello, young lady," shut the hell up. Don't disrespect me and call me a bee and a hoe because I'm not giving you a play. You ain't worthy of my time. If you do that kind of disrespect, I'm glad I didn't speak to you first up because you're not worthy of my respect. And we have labeled each other, and we've perpetuated this label, and it's got to stop because we're raising your daughter. It's getting the image that it's okay. Less is good. Very vanity. No mind game, just vanity. So we do the weeds. We do the hair thing. We do the nails thing. We shake, and we're going, we rolling our. But where's the education piece? We're better people than that. We have survived slavery. We are here because someone survived it and brought us thus far. And then we disrespect the efforts of our elders. Disrespect the efforts of those who stood up for us to say, I am a man. And we call each other nigger, bitches, and hoes, and then dance to it? Come on. And then you force me to listen to this crap as you blast your music on my block and I ask you to turn it down. You want to cuss me out? Why do you need to entertain me? I don't want to hear it. Be respectful. We've lost respect for one another. And my concern is not about Germans, Irish, and Italians, but for black people. We're the only nation that sees color. Think about this. What do they call a black in Germany?
I don't know.
What do they call a black in Spain? You could say, I don't know. What do they call an Israelite, a black in Israel?
Here's what they call them
an Israelite, a German, a French person. What do they call them in America? Afro-American. See, we've been defined from day one, and then we bought into it. We don't say we're black. We got to have this ethnicity thing going and popping. People refer to their ancestry in Europe, but they don't identify themselves by their race. They don't say, oh, I'm Afro-German. No such animal. They're German. They're French. So now we want to be defined as niggas? You don't know this, and I can't find the cover. In 1972, that's how young I am, the first Rhodes Scholar, a scholarly course of study, black woman, went to Russia, the Soviet Union that was our enemy in the communist bloc, and she said the people followed her down the street. And when she asked why, she was told, they were told that Negroes had tails. Then think about who comes here, who mistreats us, because they already heard about us overseas, the stereotype about who we are. And then we dare to perpetuate their misconception of who we are by buying into calling each other nigger? Nah, there's something wrong with that picture.
Well, the thing that's so wrong with it.
Everything.
Is no ID. No ID and no idea.
Yeah.
You can't begin to know who you are if you never know where you came from.
Yeah, but I'm
and
not a nigga,
like
neither are you.
Yeah, that's true, but see, we're like,
I could be a thief.
But these kids growing up, when they go to school, what do they teach them? They don't teach them anything about themselves. See, my thing is, there's a big difference between, and I said before in the show about education, there's a difference between educating and the educational system. And see, the whole thing, we are not educating our youth. We're just putting them in the educational system. Because if you're going to educate, then they should know everything, not just about America, but about all over. They should know something about themselves as a whole, because America is this melting pot. So you can't sit there and just because you're in this country and you got so many different races of people, you can't possibly say, well, now that you're here, it's all about America, and you have to know this about America and that about America. Fine, but I need to know about me too.
Who stands before them? Who stands before your kids? Not people that represent them. And even young folks don't even know anything about, don't bring alternative material to teach them about. See, that's a personal responsibility. But then we have the smoke screen of test, test, test. We must stay and have a pacing calendar of what's going to be on the test written by white publishers. You will never be informed. It is up to the individual teacher and parent to inform that child. See, the education begins at home. It begins with self. The same way I cannot be confused by anyone's religion because I know mine. I read my Bible. I go to Bible study. So therefore, I have the conversation. You can't confuse me. Why? Because it starts at home. My Bible reading didn't begin in church. It began in my house. So the education of who we are, especially in the age of media and so much available media written by print or by internet, educate yourself. I found out something. I found that there was a black man in 1929 in Louisiana who made the first, I'll call it, he made a machine gun that shot off 368 rounds per second. Have you ever heard of him? No. Is he doing an internet search? Is he available? No. See, we need to tell our own history. White man ain't going to tell our history. It's not going to happen. We need to find out these things. And how did I find this out? Looking for one thing, I found another. Just looking for one thing. I read black newspapers because I'm doing some research on my late pastor, and he was from the 1920s on up. And reading the newspaper articles of that era, it's a black newspaper called the New York Age. Oh, my gosh. I could spend hours just reading and reading and reading and reading. But one of the things I did read was about this black man who developed this machine gun. All right? 368 rounds per second. I can't call his name right now, but it doesn't matter because when I did the internet search, his name did not come up. He was not responsible.
our history has been stolen and people have ripped it off because we didn't stand up for ourselves and say this is our history. And that was okay because you couldn't do it back then, but we can do it now. It's up to us to educate ourselves. Leave the teachers alone. Let them do them little duties, whatever they got to do, because they have a curriculum to follow. If not, they're going to be written up and fired and harassed. Trust me, been there, done that, know that. What is the parent's responsibility to educate their child, to reinforce it? Turn off that damn TV and sit with your child and have a conversation. Turn off the freaking cell phone, both of y'all, and have a conversation with each other. Do some
no
real-life internet. Yes,
there's
time.
No time.
Sure, you
there's
make
no time.
Time. Sure.
Because you got single mothers running around working one, two jobs,
no,
or
no.
You got the ones
not
that are being irresponsible running the streets.
No.
You got both parents either working a few jobs.
My
they don't want to deal with
parents.
Each other.
Now,
they
my mama said this, turn off the TV and study. Guess what I did? Turn off the TV and study. I didn't have internet. I didn't have a phone. Guess what it was? The honor system. And then I thought she was God's sister because she would find out that I had the TV on. Then now I realized she touched the daggone, you know, bulb, whatever you call that thing. And that's how it was hot. So I'm like, wow, how does she know I lied? See, you teach them while they're young. Sorry, there is time.
Yeah,
I was that person you talked about.
Yeah,
no. I helped my son with his homework.
Now,
I work. Mm-mm. Don't give that excuse. Sorry, sir. No.
I'm not
Let me tell you, we've always
I'm
worked.
Playing. I'm just jumping on the other side of the fence because
nope.
That's what. And that, listen, what do you think society?
So who
society
helps the kid with homework?
Then?
No.
Listen,
who helps the kid with homework if that's the case? If everyone's that daggone busy,
people
how do the kids
care.
Do homework?
People who care, people who are interested in their child or children's future.
Nope, you said that. No, let's not do that. You said that people work the two jobs. And I'm asking you, for those people who fit that criteria, then how do they check their children's homework? Here's how you do it.
No.
Here's how it can be done. Because you're not working 24/7. Because somebody needs to be caring for that child. You need to have a BCW call. So you do go home. You do go home. You do go home. No. You do go home. And what you say is
you
leave the homework out. No, here, it's simple. Leave the homework out and I'll check it. All you got to do is check it. But see, here's another thing that nobody discusses. Some parents just don't know themselves because they never learned it. So what schools need to do is have those workshops for parents to teach the parents so they can help their kids. It's available.
Who's paying for that? Who's paying for that?
Oh, that's simple. There's money for that. There's money.
Oh,
boy,
they know
money.
They have
principals have a budget. They don't because Debbie didn't think of it and do it and say, okay, we have it in my school. It can happen. If I'm saying it, it's for real. It can happen because I did.
It can happen, but parents to do the right thing so the kids can do the right thing so the kids can go forth and be productive.
I'm not
and it's almost so that's not happening.
I'm not giving them a pass.
Exactly.
Not giving
it's
them a
like,
pass. Because
no.
You realize there were people who didn't speak a bit of English.
Well, hold
and
on,
some
hold
of those
on,
okay. kids, some of those kids still did well.
Hold on, call 0467. 0467, you're on the air.
What up?
What up, who's this?
It's Tamika.
Oh, what's up, Tamika? How you doing?
What's going on?
Not much.
I just came into the last half, and my lady over here was talking about she ain't giving him a pass.
No, well, yeah, well, she's talking about, you know, what's going on, you know, Tamika.
What I'm saying is that we make up excuses for people, and I know sisters and you know, and brothers, too, have two jobs, but I'm saying if you gave birth to that child is still your responsibility. So the unique ways to have that conversation with your kid, from writing the kid a note, from I love you, how was your day, writing, playing a game, tell me, write one thing that you learned today and leave it on the desk. There's a way to communicate with your kids. No one says you have to sit down and go to the library and do et cetera, et cetera. But also, as much as we text, so text your kids. So what's up? What's your math problem tonight?
Don't look at me because
check.
Seriously, look, my son texts his grandmother. When we can't, like, he has to text me as soon as he gets in the crib. If not, we won't have a problem. Because sometimes he can't call the office, which is fine. But, I mean, at home when we're hanging out or whatever, you know, we talk as much as
there you
cause
go.
Because he's in that stage. He's
mm-hmm.
hitting that preteen
mm-hmm.
insanity.
We're just talking about how we need moral values, because what we're teaching our kids, and it's really started out the first half of the show, was my zaniness and frustration over the perpetuation of defining ourselves as niggas and keeping it going. And I'm saying we need to stand at the bar, because see, our little kids are growing up and they're going to think it's acceptable. Good example, gunshot tonight. I flinched. I rolled out the bed on the floor, did a duck and, you know, roll. Other folks stand and go, oh, see, we desensitize ourselves to the ills, then we get hurt. Same thing with the music, same thing with the lyrics. We cannot continue to decry ourselves when no one else does it but us. As I told Byron, no other race calls each other themselves out. There's not a word for a German, and we know all the slang words. They don't make songs of that, but yet we're going to make songs and send the message to our kid that drinking 40s is cool. You know, we got to bring out the champagne is cool, and kids are impressionable. So I'm just talking about social responsibility, that we need to be responsible as parents because we don't have enough of them. I shared with them how at my church, all the 7-8 kids said, Happy Mother's Day, Grandma, and one said, Happy Mother's Day, Auntie. No one said mother. We're in a crisis, and so are our children. And if we want to stop bad habits and patterns, it begins with us. That's my whole thing. It begins with us and social responsibility and refusal to let anybody call you a bitch, a hoe, or a nigga. That's not it, because, see, my response to that, as I told Brian, was, your mama, now you want to fight me, but I'm going to tell you up front, because I'm not any of those things. So you must be talking about your family member. No, you want to fight me because I said that, but you don't mind disgracing me and denigrating me by calling me that. So that's how this, I said I'm not giving them a pass because I don't want to hear excuses. We have too many excuses. We're in a crisis right now. We're in crisis mode, and it's not getting any better.
And the sad part is I can't disagree with one thing you said. There's not one part of me. But now, see, me and Byron had this talk last week when we were talking about a whole different subject. But one thing that was said was that it takes a village. We started off on one thing and we wound up on another. Mm-hmm. Typical when I'm around.
Mm-hmm. But it's true. But you couldn't get away with nothing in the neighborhood.
No,
people could speak to you and you had to shut your mouth and go, yes, ma'am. Because they're going to tell your mama. You were getting beatings all up and down the block and nobody was going to defend you for your being foolishness.
Okay, because you know what happens if you got caught doing anything out the ordinary, the neighbor caught
That's
you,
right.
Neighbor took you to your mama.
That's right.
Your mama caught you, and where I was, you know, the neighbor took me to my mama. My mama called me, and then she called my grandmother on the phone, and I had to walk two blocks to get it from her.
Thank you.
So like
social responsibility.
But see I can honestly say our generation was pretty much the last generation.
No, you can't talk to them.
Was.
You can't talk to them or their parents.
We were the last generation, and not for nothing. That's the killer. And I'll be honest, I ain't got no problem with whooping my child, but it don't bother me. But all of these parents
now
are like, oh, child services is going to come. You know, let me tell you, my son threatened to call child services when he was mad young. You know what I did? I dialed the number and handed him the phone.
You know why? Because teachers empowered them to do that. They really encourage that, and they just take it. And some parents are frustrated. But I still want to go back to the original thought was we had a standard. And here's what
we did.
Your mama could cuss, but you bet not.
Yeah, because if you cuss, that was a rat.
Man, them niggas over. You knew not to say niggas. See, matter what, I call it a double standard. I loved it. Because we knew there was certain vocabulary that stayed in the house. And you didn't take it outside. You weren't about talking about my nigga.
Nah, that don't play. And I already told my son. Mm-mm. But see, I'm also that parent. Like I done told him. I said, if I ever see 40 inches of underwear on you, you gonna get 40 inches of my foot.
And who does? Who perpetuates
in your rear.
It? Who perpetuates it? We do, but who pimps us? Media, Madison Avenue, Sony Music, Warner Brothers. They all pimping us, and we're not bright enough to say, stop the presses.
Well, but
we're
going to
self-advocate and be proud of ourselves.
But here's the flip side to that. It's our own that's doing it.
Right. And that's the education piece. That's the. But we justify, we rationalize. I'll hear black people say, well, you know, if I say nigga enough, it takes the pain away. Are you stupid?
No,
and
not
yes,
somebody
calling
you
yes,
to see how you feel. Sorry, don't
but
take no pain. It is painful. What?
But wait a minute, but it goes back to that house nigga thing. You still have house niggas that's going out there and selling out the field. because they're trying to remain in the house.
But
and
you know
listen,
what?
I mean,
you can't
There's a lot of rappers. Yeah, you're right. But there's a lot of rappers out there that made money. Yeah, yeah, whatever you want to call them, because I don't call them MCs. But there's a lot of rappers out there that made their money. A lot of people in the entertainment field made their money off of that image portrayal thing, and they turn around, and like I said, their kids going to private school. And
they
turn around
so
they can't go
to
the
they made your money off of your man's death. So,
right,
I mean,
exactly.
But that's a whole other ballgame.
But no. Tamika, I want them now to make a rap that talks about Hispanics and using the S word. I want them to make.
Oh, no, they can't do that. Why not?
It don't rhyme?
No,
that's why?
Because you can't do that because.
What?
Listen
no,
here. They could do it, but there's a difference. They're not going to waste the time to do that because.
Nobody's
you know,
going to pay you to do that.
Exactly. You know, and you know what? The media does play a lot in it. It really does. But at the same time, we as a community have to say enough is enough. And until that's done, it's not going to change. It's
right.
not. And you,
because
you won't
we
hear
are
that in
sold
my house.
And bought.
You will
it.
Not hear.
We
listen,
need
and
a
I,
people to be angry, just like people protested for jobs and million dollar.
They won't get that angry,
and,
though. Because
no, we don't.
So,
we accept too much. And we think. You know, it's a couple of things. We think we've arrived. We think that we it's cool. We think it's
why,
down.
Why? Because we got a black president?
No,
he's a politician,
that,
first
before,
and foremost.
Remember,
he's a politician.
As I spoke to Byron before, the early 90s began that whole underground, and then it came out the barn with the nigger word. That since the 90s, this has been a conversation between, you know, old versus young, young versus young, old versus old, over the use of the word. So rappers brought that out because you would never have anybody talking about nigga in the 70s. We set your house on fire. You think we were a Klan. No, you're not having that. And then something happened with Hollywood, and then, you know, you want to express your anger and blah, blah, blah. And then we started using it, and it got to me when I'm like, dang, it's public. But when I started saying Hispanics using a word freely and white folks, I'm like, whoa, hold your horses. What's going on here? And
look,
then
I live
gone.
In Jersey.
Totally
I
gone.
Hear everybody say it. And I'm like, are you really serious right now?
Thank you.
I live in Jersey City. So we got every culture in the world over here.
Using
just like
it.
In New York. And you know you done hit rock bottom when the Filipinos start using it.
Yep. See? Now, there works for all of them. And all I'm saying is let the rappers write a song. Let the Hispanics. See, when they start doing it to themselves, I'll be a little bit, I won't like it. But maybe I'll be a little bit more quiet. See,
but they
you
won't.
Call you the words that I know are called to you, and then maybe I'll just quiet down and say, well, maybe I'm just really out of touch. This is very prevalent.
No,
all
it,
the races
it's not
are
out
calling
of touch.
Themselves out. Now, let's just say this, Tamika. Let's just say that the next day Fabio will now start singing about the S word. And let's see how popular it is.
Yeah, that's going to be about as popular as...
It would not be touched by Warner Brothers or any BMG music. Nobody will touch that. Yet, we allow ourselves to be pimped, you hear me, and bought and sold to denigrate our race. I don't
get that. And it won't stop. It's not going to stop because there's too many of us that are way too comfortable in our little settings that don't want to go any further than what we've got, but want to sit there and complain about things not being given to them. One, nothing is given in this world. You got to bust your hump every which way until Sunday. Two, respect is something that you got to fight for if you're of the darker persuasion. Make no mistake. Mm-hmm. Make no mistake. The job that I have now, when I first went on the interview, the office manager had the blatant audacity to turn to me and say, I spoke so well.
Oh, yeah, you're articulate.
You
yeah. See,
wow.
That's the other insult. No, it's okay because, see, niggas don't speak well.
Well,
so now you have an oddity. It's an aberration of the nigger. One who speaks well just confuses people. That's why we have to get rid of the word, because it defines us. It takes away our dignity. Yes, we are articulate. Yes, we're able to express a sentence carefully and completely. And we don't all say, you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying. And no,
seriously,
that
irritates
was a compliment.
Me.
Girl,
just
you should
for the
have
record.
Said thank you, because that was so nice of him to notice that you could speak English, the King's English that you were taught in the same very same schools as he.
And I'm just like, are you freaking serious? Mind you, I have a degree, and she just got hers. I'm like, dude, really? Wow, you're an idiot.
Yes. The people who come up and tell me that I'm articulate, just, no, I get, you're so articulate.
Oh, jeez.
You see what I'm feeling? Don't call me a nigga. I'm not a nigga. Don't even refer to me as a nigga.
Learn the exact meaning of the word before you use it.
But that's insulting in itself. Like somebody coming up to you saying, oh, you're very articulate.
They
you
don't
speak
think
well.
So. They
like,
don't
what do you mean?
Know.
Like, I don't
just
think
don't
they go,
know.
I don't think anybody, they go up to each other and say, oh, you speak well.
No,
like,
they
that's
don't. That's why I say there are exceptions made for us, that they are surprised because there's the stereotype, and nigger merely reinforces the stereotype
yeah,
of
when
our
you're
lack
not
of
part
intelligence
of that stereotype,
and education.
You shock
right.
the masses.
That's right. That's right.
You
that's
absolutely
right.
do. And Byron can tell you, I'm far from anything even close to remotely near a stereotype.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I am so far removed, it's ridiculous.
But they don't see it. And that's a compliment. You know what it's like, Tamika, calling
well,
you a good Negro?
Yeah.
That articulate
and I'm
is
like,
synonymous to you a good
yeah.
Negro.
And I'm like, really, dude? I'm probably more educated than you. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's my thought on it. It's like, dude, you are probably, you know, you're probably the biggest moron in the world. And for
yes,
you to even sit there and say
it.
That to me, it's retarded. It's an it's a complete oxymoron.
Right.
Talk about a contradiction in terms.
Because of the stereotype and perceptions and the myths pertaining to us as a people.
Yeah,
so
and it doesn't.
You don't get the profile. That's why he had to commend you on being so articulate.
And it is a huge insult and a complete slap in the face,
mm-hmm.
mind you. It really is. It's like, dude, what are you talking about right now?
Well,
and
that's
it is.
Why we can't be bitches because, see, women call each other. You know, we may do that behind the closed door, whatever. But when we start publicly letting it appear in music, then what you're saying that if you stand up for yourself, you're a bitch.
Of course.
All right. If you're assertive, not aggressive, you're a bitch. See,
yeah.
All these labels harm, denounce, and diminish us and marginalize us to take away our ability to move ahead and succeed because people limit you by those terms. And that's why there needs to be moral outrage by those who are most affected, women, to say enough is enough. And then as far as the children are concerned, I'm not into censorship. Don't get me wrong. I believe we should self-censor. Every time I listen to a song, I was listening to something that I liked. I forget the name of it. And right away, it was an old song. Oh, bop, 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 give me the good life. Talked about champagne or something. I'm like, okay, so that's cool, but it has a beat and I like it. But then what about the song
Neo.
That always promoting?
Neo?
No, no. Bop, 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 beep, doo-doo. Give me the good life.
But then, but I mean, you
that
can
one.
Tell
that
it
had liquor in it. It was singing
yeah,
liquor.
Yeah, but there's a difference between the music as far. There's a difference between the music, you know, during the early 80s, the
70s. Yes.
There's a huge difference between
yes,
that and freaking N.W.A. walking down the scene talking
mm-hmm.
about Straight Outta Compton. Because
mm-hmm.
it's like, dude, really? We are not all like that. We don't all walk around spouting that crap with some real suckish mentality, and everybody is not a nigger. Everybody is not a bitch. Everybody is not a hoe.
And not
it
a drunk. And not
way.
A pothead.
No.
Now, and I want to say this. There was this movie.
Although
I
am a recovering pothead, but I was a functioning pothead.
Yeah, but now, this is crazy. There's this movie. The director name is Clee Bone Sloan. The name of the movie was called Bastards of the Party. It was a former game banger that traced the history of the California street gangs from the 1950s through the 1990s. Now, when I watched that movie, toward the end of it, he said, that's how we make it easier. Like, they make it easier to kill your enemy. Like, you take away their identity. Like, you call them a nigga. Like you call them a bitch.
Rationalization.
Like
yeah, but
you
know what?
You take the idea. You know what I'm saying? You take the idea away from like you.
No.
You make them nameless.
Yeah, but once it,
and then
you know
makes
what?
It easier.
That's an excuse. That's
really?
An excuse because at the end of the day, you still you don't have to do that.
Right.
But that's what he was saying. He was like, you know, this is like, how do we do this to each other? Because I mean, it was a very powerful documentary, Bastards of the Fall.
How are you going to get mad about it during, this is what I understand, we was mad as a race, we were mad about it during the 50s, you know, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, even into the 80s. All of a sudden come the mid-90s, what? Boy, if you don't get out of here. Okay, fine, go. Yeah, my 3-year-old.
All good.
You know, we were all up in arms about it. We were like, rah, rah, rah. And all of a sudden, early to mid-90s hit, and then we're like, oh, yeah, it's fine. What, are you kidding me? I had a teacher call me a nigger when I was in freaking fourth grade.
I had one
that
on my
That didn't
block.
Go over well with my mother. And we're talking 1984, okay? In an all-white school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it didn't go over well with my mother, to say the least.
Mm-mm.
And the principal had never seen my mother so PO'd a day in his life. But, I mean, you know, to do that even back then, you're out of your mind. Now, I could walk down the street and I hear a freaking 10-year-old saying it. And I'm like, where's your mother at?
Thank you. See, we have to stop it. We cannot.
But you know what?
It.
Another issue, though, is that most of the parents.
Well, that's probably the mother who taught them.
This is what I was about to say. The parents, you know what? In all honesty, you can't be a parent when you weren't raised.
Mm-hmm.
You, and I'm saying this because a lot of these parents are young as hell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. My cousin has a girlfriend who is 42, and she's a great grandmother. How do you become a great grandmother? You understand what I'm saying? That's ridiculous. But, you know, if you weren't raised, you can't raise a child. And the problem is, a majority of them were never raised because they were children when they had children. And guess who took the kids? Their mom.
That's right.
And guess what?
One of the things, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And, I mean, the problem with that is your mom raised you, or she tried to at least, and you're dumping your kid off on her so you can go run the club. Really?
Right, right.
That's not taking responsibility.
Like,
that's
like I said,
being a freaking loser.
Seven children to say Happy Mother's Day, Grandma, hurt me.
And
nobody heard it but me. And I was telling people in the church, I said, I'm hurt. Did you hear what they said? And I'm like, huh? And when they thought about what the children said, I said, where are the mothers? It's not like it's Happy Mother's Day,
problem.
Grandma, because you brought me to church. Because still the kid would say Happy Mother's Day, Mommy. Mm-mm. There are none. And I know these kids. Where are the parents? And there are too many stories like this. As a former teacher, there are just too many stories like that. So, therefore, who's raising them? That's the question you raise is a good question. But then who sets the standards if you're participating in this self-defeating behavior? All right? It's the form of self-genocide. And we're destroying ourselves because no matter what you say, I'm still waiting for the song where Italians and Germans and Jews and Hispanics and a brother from Puerto Rico or Dominican Republic. And look, the man got in trouble for calling the Mexicans wetbacks. You know, let's have a song about wetbacks. Oh, let's see how that rolls over in the tongue. We won't
do
it.
You'll be holding your breath for that one.
We won't do it.
For a long time.
So the question is, if you don't do it for other races, why continue to perpetuate this sick, demented description of who we are as a people?
Because we've been targeted. Like,
no, we have a right to stop it. No, we can stop it.
We have a right to stop it. Of course, we have a right to stop it. But it's gotten to a point where it's like, who cares?
No, we
definitely.
Like,
nobody cares anymore.
And we should. No. But we don't ever need people to care about us. We need to care about ourselves, and that's the problem. Someone needs to put the seed back in us because that is a concern.
And
still
a
concern. I would never be colorblind. I will say
the majority of us that are black, Jamaican, West Indian, you know, whatever the hell, a majority of us don't care enough. Don't care. It's like, whatever, and go on about your merry way.
And that's because we do not preserve our race. We do not preserve our history. There were no niggas who came. Sorry.
How could we know? We don't know.
We do know.
Are they teaching that at school?
Yes, because you know why? You know why? Because you can be suspended for racial. There are federal laws about racial discrimination.
We're descended from kings and queens.
Teachers don't
are they teaching stuff like that?
Listen, the teachers, it's just too
too much of it that teachers don't care. I stood up for that. Nobody said nigger around me. They were not on a good or bad day, and I heard it, I called you on it, and you weren't saying it again. So that's my world and my rule for 20-something years, but still, that's not what other teachers do. And when all do not do it, then you have a hostile racial climate where you're the only one feeling hostile because it's too much to defeat, because you have your people are afraid of the response. You have your gangs. I don't give a rat's butt. I can't call you that nasty word. Don't call it to me. And it's just about people standing up for what's right or wrong. And you're right. People don't. Some people don't care. Some people don't think there's anything they can do about it.
It's the masses.
But listen, if that's the case, we wouldn't have a civil rights bill. If that's the case, we would still be in Jim Crow era. Somebody has to make a difference.
That's
and sometimes
the
it's the few who makes the good for the larger group.
But
that's
see, you got to understand, you're dealing with a totally different mentality. You're dealing with a mentality now that really just doesn't care. The mentality of the people back then was all about fighting for it. The mentality now... It's forget about it. Especially because you got a brother in the White House. These fools done lost their mind and thought,
when they call Obama a nigger, we're going to get up. We're going to raise up.
If you're going to get mad about somebody calling Obama one, why you ain't going to get mad when somebody calls your brother one?
Because we split hairs.
I'm not splitting no hairs.
You and I may now, but I'm saying people will split hairs and look for the exceptions. Like, that's why it started out, and you came in on, I'm not giving you a pass. There are no
exceptions.
And
I'm not mad at you because I don't believe in a pass neither. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. My ex-husband, he said that one day, and I turned up, I said, excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but I didn't mean, I said, hold the line. Mm-hmm. Let's get something straight right now. That word, not acceptable in my
mm-hmm.
presence.
Mm-hmm.
Not in my house, and damn sure not around my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You got a problem with that too damn bad.
Even
one of the other many reasons why we split up, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But
Richard Pryor,
that's a cavalcade.
But Richard Pryor was infamous for that. He had to take stock one day.
That was every other word.
Right, but he took stock and said no more, and he stopped saying it. But understand it. See, there was you can say Red Fox. What'd I tell you? In-house. That was the Chitlin' Switch circuit, and that's where we were. We were in-house and said stuff about us that nobody else could say. That was the wonderfulness of it all if you had to use it. My complaint is that it's gotten from in-house to everybody using it.
Yeah, it's
and
amazing.
Saying it
it's
confidently without a blink or a black of an eye.
No, see,
and we don't get upset.
It's the hipness.
Mm-hmm.
It's hip. It's cool. No, it's really not. It's the most annoying thing in the universe, and it pisses me off to no end.
My
I'm
neck
so,
is snapped,
what,
and my eyes are bulged. Nobody cares about
I
it.
Go
it's
out,
like, what's wrong with
listen,
you?
Like, I go out to the old neighborhood, and I still hear it, and I'm like, this is why y'all cast is still on the block, still
mm-hmm.
drinking the same crap in the same spot
mm-hmm.
you've been in from freaking 1990-something, because
mm-hmm.
your mind has not gone anywhere. You're
mm-hmm.
still stuck in this basis freaking mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Wake the fuck up. Get
mm-hmm.
your life together. And get on the ball.
But that's not what happened because one thing I find very interesting is how cats can get up 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning and stand outside in front of
Thank
the store.
Thank you, Lord.
But they
can't get up to get a job.
Get a job.
Can't go a job.
And but then they want to talk about, oh, they can't find them.
You can't find them because you ain't nowhere.
If you stand in front of the store. And that's
right.
You know what? The wild thing is,
this is why.
Going to give you a job. He ain't going to give you a job. What, doing security? Because you stand out in front of the store 6 o'clock in the morning.
And that's the crazy part. But this is why this whole thing between the bitch, the nigga, the hole, the freaking baggy pants, which started all in, not the baggy pants, but the 40 inches of underwear, which started in jail, which these cats
mm-hmm.
are so oblivious to.
Emulating.
Because now for nothing, that was a sign in jail for gas to let you know,
mm-hmm.
oh, yeah, you can do me in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all so busy
mm-hmm.
emulating this retardedness,
mm-hmm.
you don't even understand the history behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what it is, and nobody... There's very few of us that will stand up and say, nah, this isn't happening. Very few of us. You know, we are the minority, within the minority.
Well, you know what? You raise a good point in that we say nobody will stand up. See, a long time ago, we had spokespersons. And I'm not saying Rev. Al is one of them because
I was about to say, please don't go there.
Ladies, whatever. But I'm saying we had voice spokespersons.
We
no one speaks for us. Yeah, but no one speaks for us anymore. And then when they do, they get shut down because it's a paid effort to shut them down. Therefore, we need to take, as you know, Malcolm X talked about, we need to take care of our own communities. We need to bring the business back home and the education back home. You know,
but until that happens,
as I remember, what was Hotel Rwanda, where they referred people as cockroach.
Oh.
He still didn't call his brother a nigger. He called him a cockroach, but he did not call the other tribe a nigger. See, it's an Americanism. And it started with white men calling us that, and we have now kept it going rather than refuting it and denying it and burying it like the memories that occurred when it was first heaped upon us when we were chained together and brought over in mass, put on a stockade, and sold. And those chains still bind us together as long as one person doesn't break that link and say, I'm free from that. Not happy. Don't call me a B, don't call me a hoe, don't call me an... My name is Deborah.
The sad part is that spokespersons, who knows where they're at? I mean, I hate to use it or use them like that, but once again, I could use it before, but Jay-Z, I mean, from Big Pimpin' to B to hold this and that, but then he has a daughter, and then all of a sudden, you don't want to use the word anymore.
Thank you.
Like,
but that's like Eddie Murphy.
But that's very hypocritical because you made your money off of this, but now all of a sudden, you want to make it sound like you're an adult, like you're grown up. You should have been speaking about that before. You should be speaking about, because my thing is this: if you're gonna be a gangster, don't be a fake gangster. Be a real gangster. You're gonna be a gangster on all fronts. You're gonna tell the rent company, "Yo, I ain't doing this." Well, no, you ain't pimping me like this. Hollywood, no, you ain't doing that. And no, I'm not saying this. You know, if you talk about you gangster and really do it, because a lot of these cats talk about they gangsters and they want to pick up guns and all this and that, but let their label yank their contract. They in the corner crying somewhere.
Yeah, they gangster until, and you're absolutely right, they gangster until they realize they're going to lose it, and then they're like, oh, it ain't that serious.
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously, that's exactly the response. Oh, it's all right, you know. But this happens all across the board. It's not a, I'm sorry, I remember when Eddie Murphy was funny, okay? But as soon as he became a dad, all the shit stopped.
Yeah.
Really?
And that's hypocritical. That is
understanding.
What's good for you, me, should be good for your daughter.
I know that's right, but apparently, you know, your child is more superior than the rest of us. Hence, forced to change
their
attitude.
Their kids are going to public schools. I mean, private schools, and our kids are going to, like, public schools. So it's like, you know, our children are separate from theirs. So it's all right for like, I wonder at what age did his kids listen to Raw? If they ever have listened to.
I'm quite sure they probably haven't heard it yet.
No.
But I'd be more than happy to play Delirious for them.
Yeah.
His daughter's older
right.
now. His daughter's older now, so I'm sure they probably listened to it.
Yeah.
And then was like, wow, like, this was the Nutty Professor. Like, this was Dr. Doolittle. You know what I'm saying? Like, wow, you were kind of raunchy, Dad. Like,
you know,
now
he wants to try to get his career back. Well, you can't. Because you
my
know what? You fake Jax.
You
fake
Jax
to the point where nobody's got respect for you, except for, you know, some freaking dude over at Walt Disney who wants to make more Clump movies.
And that's where it begins. Because remember years ago, not all music made the media. It's either you paid somebody off. That's what happened to Frankie Crocker back in the day. You know, it would take kickbacks to play certain songs. And then it's a matter of, certain companies say, I'm going to go on my own and record my own. But see, there still is an FCC regulation about
payola,
which you can play. And let me tell you, FCC still talks about racist music. Why do they make the exception for black folks? I'm harping on that. Why is there exception for us to be able to denigrate ourselves with the use of that word?
Oh, because at the end of the day, at the end of the day, we are still the lowest of the low in this country.
And that's why we can't have it anymore.
A lot of people come to this country and they validate themselves by stepping on a black man.
Right, or they know about us and
they
step on us. That's right.
Exactly.
They come to the country knowing about us to disrespect us already. That's why you don't get much respect with certain. You're not even speaking English, man. How are you going to disrespect me? Follow me around the store. Treat me. Throw my money away. Throw the goods on the table. Who are you? You just got here. Everybody comes here, moves up a rank ahead of us, no matter what. Behind the native black
American. As much as I would love to say, I got to go because my monsters are at my gate, the barbarians, as I love to call them.
We got 2 minutes left, but thanks, Tamika, for calling in.
Yes,
and
Nice to talk to you.
Same here. Thank you very much. I will try to catch up next week. Don't forget to read the comic booster. I got them over.
All right.
All right. Well, Byron, at this point, I have stated my case. I've heard. I've listened. I'm not giving up on us as a people. There's got to be a righteous one out there who makes sense and says, okay, we've got to stop. We've got to bring a consciousness to the black conscience, to the black life, to restore our dignity, and to know that there is no rationalization or explanation or good cause, because what's not good for the goose cannot be good for the gander. If we cannot call any other racial group a racial slur in song, music, dance, TV, or otherwise, then we should set the same bar and standard for ourselves as a people and refuse to be defined and described as such. Whether it's bitch, hoe, or nigger, if no other race allows that to be called to their own people or to be called between one another in public, then neither should we accept that as a standard for ourselves.
But you know what? And yeah, 100%. Right, but you know what I find very interesting? Like conversations like these or discussions like these, someone outside of our race will find some way, somehow, to say, oh, they're racist. See, that's the thing. We're not racist. It's not about racism. What it's about, it's accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing is people are not taking accountability for their actions or what they're doing to themselves or others. But like you said, it's an excuse. It's just to label it real quick. They're racist. No one here is racist. If matter of fact, anybody who deems this a racist discussion is a racist themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing racist about it. Once again, we're talking about accountability. And it's grown up. So, you know, get your mind, you know, out of the toilet. You know, I mean, it's sad that we have to have these type of discussions. But then again, we really need to face facts. We are our own worst enemy. They give us the gun and we shoot ourselves every time without fail, because they already know what we're going to do because they set the tone. It's only a few times throughout history where we've had our leaders and radical leaders, you know what I'm saying, and they silenced them. But then again, you can't silence what a generation.
Right, and the same generation that stood ground to make this happen can be the same generation to undo the damage.
This is
true. So we silence leaders, but why do you think other folks come to our neighborhood for the drugs? We don't go to theirs. It's not sold in theirs. See, we do a lot to ourselves that we need to pay attention to and say stop it. Fox, I know who comes to my neighborhood who don't look like me to buy the drugs. We don't go to their neighborhood because they're not going to stand for it. Not one Orthodox anything is going to let a drug den or crack den or otherwise be on their block, but they will come to mine.
Exactly. Or they can do it in their neighborhood,
allow it.
But you can't do it. But
right,
exactly.
We allow it. Because I just say, you mean to tell me a whole apartment building can't beat down one crack dealer? Come on now. How are you going to just take over a building and there are about 100 people in it? You got scared. Bust us behind vigilantism. Take that daggone gun away from him. Whip us behind and let him never come back, and it'll happen.
But you know what?
There was a Muslim community in my neighborhood years ago that was fierce. They didn't play with them. They weren't happy.
I remember.
Remember them? That's right.
You could not do much of anything.
Thank you.
You couldn't scratch it behind on that block.
Thank you. So you tell me we can't self-police? You tell me we can't, even though the leader, you know, had issues later, the concept was self-policing. And
exactly.
You held people to a standard.
There's nothing wrong with being held to a standard. I didn't say we all have to fit the same profile and come out the same package. I talked about a standard. And it's not a white standard. It's a moral standard. And there's just some things that shouldn't be. As you wouldn't walk around in a butt-free, naked community, you know, you'd respect the rules. So there's rules regarding name-calling. You know what I'm saying? There's some communities that accept certain things. Well, if you don't, you know the rules, you don't do it. We don't have those rules. We will let someone else make the rules for us. That's what pisses me off. We allowed someone else of our own to define us, and then we were pimped to get to that point. But we never had to accept it. I still fight against it. Don't tell me we all have to accept it. We don't have to accept it. Byron, you bought into it because you're playing those songs. And I'm not knocking you. I'm just saying you bought into it. It became a form of your quote-unquote expression that never offended you because you didn't even understand the history behind, the power behind the things that were being said in those songs and lyrics. Instead, you imitated them. And it had no power because no one bothered to tell you, boy, this had so much power. But think about it. Who in your family ever used those words? So you had to figure, this ain't right. My family don't use it, so something must be wrong here. We rationalize. That's why we do what we do. And it's human choice that allows us to go afar from where we came from. I choose not to participate in publicly or even privately calling someone a nigger, including myself, or referring to another person as a nigger. Because, again, if I don't refer to other races by the names I know have been assigned to them, why would I do it to my own? I got a list of those words, baby, from every ethnicity, because they called it to themselves back in the 50s and 40s and way back when. If you ever get a chance, watch The Gangs of New York. And it's a good
thing. Oh, that movie with Leonardo?
Yeah. But there's a sign in their clubhouse that says Native Americans. When I saw that sign, probably nobody ever paid attention to it, but I'm bringing it to light. I laughed because, see, guess what? You're Native Americans, or what does that say about the people who came before you? Everybody who comes in steps up, sets the rules for themselves, and demands that you respond to it. Same thing for us. We've been here. We're Native. We don't have to accept what was given to us. We can stand up and rise above it and against it. We can put that sign up that says Native Americans, and that has dignity and respect to it. Nigger doesn't define you as a person of respect. As a matter of fact, to call you a nigger was the lowest form of human species. That was like being called a bastard. Nigger had no dignity to it. None. And how you going to make something have dignity that never had dignity to it? I don't get that. So how you say, no, my niggas, there was no dignity to that word. It was never meant to have dignity. How you going to make up crap and remake it to benefit you?
Well, I mean, you know, you got some people that say, I love my people. I love my black people, but I don't like them niggas. I mean, you're right. They try to.
And what are you saying when you say that? Have you not put them in a class unto themselves? Is that that not a demoralizing, denigrating, condescending term?
You're absolutely right. That's
there
what I
you
said.
Go. It goes in the dirt with the dirt. You sweep it out. So there is no rationalizing it. You know, niggas
right.
Crazy. You're not cool. That's not a fun word. Because you can say those guys are crazy. Richard said that nigga's crazy. That was a common sense, you know, vernacular of those who wanted to engage in a community. It did not have full participation of other races. And it wasn't publicized. It was on video if you wanted to buy Richard. Everybody bought Richard. It was like another Chitlin' Switch kind of stuff.
True.
So even he woke up and said, wait a minute, this crap ain't right. And I'm saying it never was meant to be right. So let's work on putting the word out there. I'm so sorry other people didn't come in and join, especially the brothers who probably say it all the time, 50 times a day, like they say grace, you know, and I chew. They need to hear themselves because they're raising little niggas. Now, that's offensive, then I'm going to be offensive. You call it to somebody else, can you call it to your own child? And if you're not, then nobody's a nigga. With that, my cousin, I bid you adieu. Thank you for talking to me.
Thank you for being on. I enjoy
it. Bless you and continued success with your show.
Thank you very much.
Of course, it's hearing what your agenda will be. Now, I don't participate in everything, but you allowed me, and I thank you for that.
Well, thank you for opening up the door.
Peace unto you. Yes, peace, my brother. Love you.
Have a good night, cuz. Love you, too.
All right, good night.
And that concludes our episode of the menu, y'all. Thanks for listening.